Hello there. Before you settle down with a nice cup of tea or other warm beverage of your choosing and listen to this week's podcast, please do bear in mind that it's chock full of absolutely monstrous technical errors, which is becoming the standard every bloody week on this podcast. If you do bear with us and can get through the sounds of white noise and birds shitting down the drain, you'll listen to a podcast which is enlightening, fun, and at times heartwarming. At least that's what we keep telling ourselves. Welcome to Nightcast. Say that thing you normally say.
Nightcast.
What?
Are you there, Nightcast?
Yeah, I'm here, but I want you to say that thing you normally say.
Nightcast, and we're there.
That'll do fine. Thank you very much. Just before we actually started tonight, I actually recorded this little kind of segment just to explain all of the shit we have to go through to actually record every week. So there's a little disclaimer right at the start of this week's episode.
Brilliant.
Yep. Just thought it'd be helpful for the people out there who've actually stuck with us for the first six episodes and are just thinking, I wonder why these two dickheads can't seem to actually get the recording out every week on time.
Nightcast. Yeah. 30 minutes late there.
Yeah, exactly that. It's like, it's just one of those things, technical problems again. I'm not going to keep using the excuse. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, Dale. Good. How are you?
I'm very good. It's good to be with you again. For those people listening in, it's Andy and it's Dale. Hello. So we're going to try something a bit different this week. We've had a bit more feedback about the show. We're going to try something a little less interviewy. Yeah.
Yeah, probably the best way. I think sometimes it sounds like a little bit like a Martin Bashir interview with Michael Jackson.
I like to think of that guy, Krishnan Guru Murphy, off Channel 4. He's a cool dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he had a little bit of a... Can you remember, he had a spat with Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, he did. Did he interview him that one time and he walked off the show? Oh, no, that was Robert Downey Jr. Jr. went on to...
He's had a few.
Yeah, he's had a few, but Robert Downey Jr. went on to Channel 4 News and basically he was going on to promote, I think it was like Iron Man 3 or something. Yeah. And Krishnan Guru Murphy was like, so tell me about your drug habits.
Yeah, like totally nothing to do with the film. Let's talk about your drug habits.
And yeah. Robert Downey Jr. sat there, he's like, well, you do know that this film's like, you know, it's a 12A. At worst, it's like a PG. And you're wanting me to discuss like the shit that happened before I became famous proper. But yeah, I'd love to have like a moment, a day in the life of Krishnan Guru Murphy. I imagine he's fun at Christmas parties. You invite him round.
I think Downey Jr., he was already famous, and I think he made the comebacks of comebacks, didn't he? He had like the drug stuff, and then obviously then this was before the Iron Man stuff, and then those films, then Marvel films.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And it was just, like, crazy, wasn't it?
It was mental. It seems to be what happened is he got arrested. He was put in prison, because I can remember the mugshot. And he was in prison for, I don't know, it was probably dealing or something.
Alleged.
Yeah, that was it. And effectively, he was put in prison. Next thing you know, he's like a global superstar, star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and all that, and probably the richest man in Hollywood nowadays.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be balling.
How
would you manage in prison?
What do you think he'd be like in prison?
No, Dale. Yeah, Dale, no, how would you manage in prison?
How would I manage in prison? Well, first things first, I'd make sure I was not showering by myself. I mean, I think that can apply to you, because with a face like yours, Andy, I think you'd be popular in the prison showers. Yeah.
Dale,
do
you know what?
What?
I don't think you'd have a choice.
just keep the soap out of the way.
Well, they always say, what is it? The saying, what is it? Soap on a rope, but.
Soap on a rope, yeah.
Soap on a rope. I don't think you'd have a choice. I think, you know, I think if. Some people say it doesn't count in.
It doesn't count in what?
Doesn't count in prison. Well,
What?
nice. I'm invited to do a new podcast.
I just want to clarify. You've just gone off, and you sound like you're in a fishbowl.
Yeah, mate, I tell you.
What's happening?
Oh, mate, I can hear myself again.
What have you done?
I've done nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, what is this doing?
It's weird. It kind of sounds like you've just came out of a fish tank.
Can you hear that?
I can, but it sounds worse somehow.
Mate, it's gone a little bit moody.
It's a little bit trippy. Andy, you're still there?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, what's funny is what's just happened, and this is the thing that I think people are going to love about the podcast. We're so lo-fi, it's unreal.
It's right. Can I just I'll just stop there. I know we were just on about prison there. To be honest, do you know what I've often thought about this. You know, like these. It's almost like some kind of like feeling that I had a lot more when I was younger. Not like
what's that?
That I would just end up doing something wrong, end up in prison. And I just think I'd mentally break down. I don't think I'd be mentally strong enough.
Well, you know what? I don't think you're allowed to take what's that stuff called like? Original source shower gel. And that's an advert I'm putting out there. Give me some money. I don't think you're allowed to take that in prison with you. I don't think you're allowed any fluids. I think it's a bit like an airport.
What do you mean?
Well, you know what? If it's soap on a rope and that's the problem, if you go and you're smart enough and you're savvy enough and you've got a nice bit of Johnson's baby shower gel or something, you're not likely to get attacked.
No, Dale, I think I would just crumble. Like, this is the scenario that I've had in my head. I think that life just... I end up doing something like silly, not murdering anybody, but just end up in prison, like something really silly. I always used to have it when I was younger, and I thought I'd end up, and I'd literally just think I would crack. I know I would.
What's your definition of silly here? Because, I mean, if you're not going to run someone over and you're not going to murder someone, how silly would you have to be? Are we talking about like nicking some space raiders from a shop?
Nah, it's probably like a bit of fraud or something.
Yeah, just keep it on the dark web there, mate. Yeah, why not? Just get into someone's HSBC account or something. Yeah, it's all cool.
No, but I think to be honest, I think I would somehow get in like I'd be contacted like via email. I think it was something legitimate. It's potentially someone in Nigeria. They get my details, I get tight. Do you know what I mean?
You know, it's funny you should mention that. Have you been checking our emails for the podcast?
No, have you?
Yes. Okay. So here's a shout out to Mohammed Abdullah. I appreciate that you may have £11 million to shift from your bank account, but this is a brand new podcast and we don't actually have a bank account, so we can't help you. So if you are listening tonight and you're kind of thinking, these guys sound like they'll be quite helpful in my scheme to get this £11 million into a bank account in West Africa, no, we don't have a bank account. So yeah, Abdullah, thanks for listening in. Thanks for sending the email, though. Yeah.
You'll be genuine there.
I don't know if it was genuine. I didn't reply to it. Half of me was tempted. Because it was in my junk, it was in the junk email for the podcast. And I was half tempted to kind of respond and just see what the conversation would go like. I've seen some really hilarious examples of that online, but I just don't feel I'm kind of to the standard where I'd be able to repeat that feat.
So this is literally a guy's contacted the show's email address and said that you'll essentially invest in the show. But he needs our bank account details to do it.
That's basically it, yeah. I think it's something along the lines of what he's hoping to do is he'll put the money in the bank account for us. Brilliant. And then what we've got to do is give him like some of that back, and then we go to prison because it'll be blood money or something.
Yeah, and this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. No, well, and then I end up in prison And it's like, then it's like, Jesus.
You know how did I mean? You get here? Especially if it's like a prison in like Ghana or somewhere.
Do you know what? I think it's weird that you say, like, you know, like, this guy's been in contact. You know, I wonder if he's, like, how much are you going to give? 11 million or 8 million or something?
I deleted the email. I kind of wish I kept it. I'm going to check the bin now to see if it's the... Ah, no, I deleted it. I wish I kept it because it was a good read as well. I mean, his English was on point for someone who claims to be living in, like, I don't know, Mumbai or wherever it was.
Well, you know what? If he wanted to invest in the show, then, you know, he probably could have paid for... I need to have Wi-Fi here instead of 4G data where I've got 2 bars of signal at the moment.
The funny thing is, right, for most of the feedback we've gotten back from the show, our friend Chris Porter included, right, some of the feedback I've gotten, had a guy like message in, he's like, do you guys like do the show on dial-up internet? And I was like, I didn't know what to reply to that. I'm kind of thinking, well, no, but if I entertain it, maybe he's taking the piss. I didn't want to kind of respond back. No disrespect, Gary. I didn't want to email you back simply because I didn't know how to respond.
Right, Gary, thanks for listening. Gaz, my dad's called Gary, so I think I'll...
Gaz.
Yeah, but Gaz, it could be my dad, could be. Anyway, Gary, basically what's happened at the minute is I'm on... Deal, you're on Wi-Fi. You've got Wi-Fi up there, haven't you?
Talk, it's the best.
Yeah, brilliant. Sounds it, because this Anchor podcasters works a treat every time.
If you listen back to it, I sound terrible. And it's not just because I sound shit. The signal dips. Sometimes it sounds like I'm in a submarine. Sometimes it sounds like I'm on the toilet. It's not the best, to be fair.
Yeah, absolute. It's. I think to be honest, I think it's a mix between your Wi-Fi and I think the 4G connection I've got down here.
And maybe it's just really shit presenting by myself. I don't know. Any mixture of those things could be the problem, Andy.
Yeah, could be slightly dragging it. I tell you what, I've just been doing there. You know, before you, because we have like a phone call before we start recording.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, normally it's for Dale, I think, to remind me on that we're trying to do this every week.
I was generally worried tonight that you weren't actually going to remember.
Yeah, do you know what? I was going to go to the gym and get the Wi-Fi there. Then I realised the gym shuts on a Sunday at 9:30. So, you know what I mean? And I thought, yeah, if we're planning to be on at 9 o'clock and it'll always we'll probably be on about 15:15 or 20:20 by the time this actually works.
It's 9:24 now, Andy. It's 9:24 now. We're 12 minutes in. Imagine you're in the gym. What do you do?
I would have to tell you we've got 6 minutes left and I'll have to leave. It's like, do you know the only way I can describe it? Right? So obviously when I'm, you know, everybody, you know, knows I'm down in Wales and, you know, pretty much alone down here. I've got very little friends.
Beautiful Wales. We love Wales.
Yep. I've got very little friends down here. So to be honest, I've just been really, you know, night after night, just really getting into the gym. And, you know, the gym's open at 10 o'clock on a night. But what I find, and the only way I can describe it, and I think we've all had that feeling before, you know when you're not wanted anymore, when it's someone's giving you hints, it's time to leave. And start, like, it's amazing. Like, a gym, it's almost if the same... We need to pack the gym away for the night. Come on, off you go. We are open till 10, but 9:30 is about the time you need to be leaving because I'm putting all the weights away. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not using any of the big weights. I'm just, you know, to be honest, just pissing about, to be honest.
Pissing about in the gym, standards.
What?
It's pissing about in the gym, standards.
Yeah, do you know what? I still can't actually work out what I want to do. I sometimes think that I want to be functionally fit. I want to be, you know, on cardio, on a real engine. Then I want to bulk, and then I want to be, Yeah, I just and then I start reading this, you know, this Joe Wicks guy.
Oh yeah, Joe Wicks. Oh.
He was more like functional fitness stuff. I start getting into him, and problem is, it's like at any of these, he does loads of these books, and to be honest, I think you get like 4 pages in, and then I'm absolutely bored out of my mind. And I don't follow. I don't follow it through these self-help books. I think most people, I think, get a few pages in and then just like feel better that they've got that book and they are going to really follow it. And but then it's like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow.
I'll be honest with you, right? I'm in the same boat at the minute. If you probably don't know me if you listen to this at home, unless you're Chris, of course. But me, I used to be a fat waller, right? And I lost loads of weight to get in the armed forces. We discussed the armed forces last week. We're not going to bore you with
Still,
that.
still, what do you reckon you were your heaviest?
At my heaviest, I was about 16 and a half stone.
In
So what's that in American? So if in case you've got American listeners out there.
Google it. You got
Oh,
them right.
bollocks, right. Okay, hold on.
So if you were you're 16 and a half stone, you're 5'9".
Jesus, man, no, 5'10".
All right, 5'10". Jesus, sorry for offending.
Well, come on, you're the same height, yeah.
Well, this is the thing, and this is
Okay.
the thing that I'll explain to everyone that's listening out there. So we've known each other, obviously, I don't know, nearly 15 years now, right? And
Over 15 years, over 15 years, easy.
over 15 years, right? And to be honest, like we used to, we still speak a lot. We still speak regular, and but we used to spend a, we used to see each other a lot more. But obviously, life gets in the way. Life gets busy, and anyway, but there was times where I remember going to, because I used to go to Dale's house every Sunday religiously. Probably why my
Basically, wasn't it? That was the church that you visited.
it was that was my church of going to. Dale's family home, and I go there every week, and one thing I noticed, some days I was taller than you, or some days, can you not remember this? Or some days you were taller than me. It was like weird. But
It's strange. There was like one night when we were on a night out, and I looked at you, and for once, it felt like I was actually kind of a couple of inches, not even a couple of inches, like maybe an inch up. And then a couple of weeks later, you were taller. It just, how does that work?
I don't know, because at the time when we're talking about this, we were both fully grown. We ain't having a growth spurt. It was just a bit weird.
It was. It's one of those things. I think it's weirder that you actually used to visit my place every Sunday, and the mass that you attended was the weekly domestic, which in a household of my size was quite an event.
Still, what you're saying? You're saying happy homes?
If happy homes create happy children, and I'm certainly a happy child, just the household wasn't.
Yeah, cut the tension with a knife. But I tell you what, I can't really talk. Obviously, I come from a little bit of a broken home, but you know what I mean. It's stuff didn't work out, and you know what I mean? It's, mums and dads. I think in the.
Going to say, you had a similar upbringing to Ed Sheeran, though, didn't you?
Yeah, quite similar, yeah. Except I think he's a multi-millionaire now, isn't
You're still keen, by the way. I'm 16 and a half in 16 and a half stone in American, as I'm going to refer to it as American because no one else uses pounds and kilograms.
No.
220, what's that? Okay,
Go on, what's that in pounds?
229 pounds, right? Which means absolutely bottle to me because I wouldn't have known what that was otherwise. Or 104.1 kilograms.
You'd probably be a UFC heavyweight at that.
If heavyweight,
I don't
I was going to say if they have a heavyweight class for just born idle fat idiots, then definitely. Interesting enough, my weight nowadays, and bear in mind I've piled the weight back on, is so we've got the 229. 229. I'm literally like 19 pounds lighter at about 15 stone, give or take. And that my wife keeps telling me that's muscle. I think it's probably because I've had too many Doritos the past 2 years.
So what? So explain everyone. So how did you? So why did I can't remember? Why did you actually lose? Because to be honest, I didn't see you for. I remember not seeing you for a few months, and then I seen you. I was like, oh my god, he's lost loads of weight. And I literally thought, oh, you had like a you had an illness, but you didn't. You did it on purpose. But what were you doing it for?
Was that mate? Actually, it was a tapeworm.
A tapeworm just eating your insides.
Literally. No, it was for the army, yeah. So I went to Durham, which they don't actually have an army office anymore. So I went to Durham's army office, the recruitment place, in October, or might have been September 2012. No, it was October. And basically they said, right, you're too fat, you need to lose some weight. In the nicest possible way, that's kind of how the army worked. And that just set me on this kind of aim of losing loads of weight. And by the December, I'd already shifted about a stone. So I just kind of got addicted to it and ended up down to about, I think it was 12 and a half at my lightest.
How did you do it?
Literally cardio.
Was that it? Just running?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, right? There's a lot of guys out there just on the subject, whilst you're on the subject, like gymming it and trying to decide what you're doing with yourself. There's a lot of guys out there who absolutely hate cardio, and I can understand why. But put it this way, if you want to lose weight, it's simply the most effective way to do it if you're a fatty. It simply is. And it worked for me. Obviously, dieting as well. You've got to diet. I mean, I was eating rabbit food for a while. Not actual rabbit food, just to clarify. Well, there's a funny story about that I can tell you sometime. I was eating, I was still eating pastas, you know, pasta, bacon, things. But yeah, it was just basically running cardio. It was a lifesaver.
You did. We'll get some of those pictures on. We'll get some of the pictures on Instagram of when you lost all that weight. There's a nice picture in, I think it's Beamish Museum you're at.
Yeah.
I think you quite like that picture as well.
Yeah, I think. That's the one where I look like I've literally just came out of hospital after a long battle with an illness.
Yeah, probably.
But no, I'm in good shape.
Yeah, you got yourself. I think that's the lightest I've seen you in. So what's the plans at the minute then? Are you trying to lose weight or?
Well, much in the same way as yourself. I don't know. One minute I'm kind of like, I'm in the gym. I'm like thinking, yeah, it's winter. Can't get out as often. It's coming up winter even. Can't get out as often for the cardio because obviously I'm an outdoor runner. So I'm thinking, yeah, best bulk up. You know, summer's gone. Too late for the summer body. Let's do that. And then the next breath, I'm like, shit, I really don't want to be eating another bowl of Rice Krispies or, you know, a 6-ton bowl of ice cream. I need to be eating something healthier and then trying to run. So I really don't know. I think I'm kind of too busy to put too much emphasis on that nowadays. I don't know about yourself.
Do you know what? The only way I can describe it is a big thing which I shouldn't really follow on, but we all do, like Instagram at the minute. Like, you just see like all these posts of like, I'm following people who do this HIIT training, and then I'm following people who are like, you know, like bodybuilding. Then I'm following people just, you know, doing, who are just doing it with nutrition. I'm following this Joe Wicks, and he's like, he's making a meal in like six, he's make a meal in 60 seconds and all this shit. Like, oh, jeez, what do you actually follow? But literally, I'll tell you what I've done. So there's a girl at work who works, well, I think she, you know, a little bit like the Avon lady that used to come to the door, used to come around like the house and used to sell you stuff out, you know, like out the Avon catalogue. Well, your mum.
Is that the same as the Ann Summers lady? She might have like a second job where if it's Avon by day, Ann Summers by night.
Well, to be honest, I think, like, you know, like these pyramid schemes of like these people come to the door selling shit and, you know, they'd have the catalogs. And, Well, this lady who is going to name nameless, she sells, what's that nutrition called? Oh, deal, come on.
Hang on, shreds.
Shreds?
Oh, it's a big thing. I was going to say Google it, Instagram it.
No. It's like real, like old. Right, give me 1 minute. I'm gonna nip the kitchen because I've got this bloody protein powder. Hold on, right. Give me 1 minute.
You do that. That's fine.
Right, you keep chatting.
I'm gonna do my thing. Yeah. So anyway, Andy's off in the kitchen to go and grab a pot of some magic dust or whatever it is he's taking at the minute. Tonight we're going to be looking at the anniversary of 9/11. It's the 9th of September, but we're also going to finish this conversation we're having about dietary supplements and he's back. Hello.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Right. So it's a company. I think everyone's heard of them. It's called Herbalife.
Yes, of course. They sponsored LA Galaxy for a while.
Yeah, but there's loads of like, I don't know. Some people like absolutely like slagged it off. Some people praised it. Like, obviously, the lady who I'm getting this stuff off, she can't sing the praises more than anything. So I've got the Herbalife Rebuild Strength Recovery Drink Mixed Powder with added L-glutamine and BCAAS for strength athletes.
Do you know what that means?
No, not really. nutritional support. But to be honest, I think it's the best. It's the best tasting protein powder, if it is a protein powder. I'm not even really sure that I've had, because it just tastes like chocolate. But then you just think, oh, how actually good is that for you?
Well, it's manufactured, isn't it? I mean, realistically, if something's manufactured, it can't necessarily be all that good for you.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's meant to give you an urge. But then me latest thing. So just keeping on the topic of like what I'm trying to do, like, so then my other one is I'm trying to do, but the only way I describe it is so being down here and being, you know, well away from home and stuff, and it's, you finish work on a night and, you know, we're all like that way, you'll finish work late on a night. Can you be asked to make anything that's nutritious? You can't really be bothered to make anything, so you end up getting like a takeout, and you know, and then that's like, you know, like a pizza, and that's rubbish, and then you get a McDonald's, and it just, because it's easy and like quickness, but it's just a little bit of mouth pleasure, but then you feel like, especially after McDonald's for me, I feel terrible after.
Yeah.
like just absolute dog shit.
A bit naughty afterwards, like, oh god, what am I going to do about this?
No, but it's that whole feeling of like regret eating like fast food stuff. So the big one which I've started doing now is, so I started it last week where I literally made the biggest pot of healthy chili con carne that I could make. Like, we're talking, Dale, I think I had about two or three pans going on the stuff. I made 15 portions of chili con carne. I've been eating chili con carne all week.
Chili. I was gonna give it the tagline, it is the shit, but it also can give you the shit.
So what I've got severe diarrhea.
Really? Is it that bad? Is that why you're at the toilet one?
Yeah, like it's destroyed me inside, man. Like, I think it's just because it's so rich, man. And it's just like, oh, for God's sake, man. I just, you know, you're thinking like what to do for the best. But it's one of those, mate, isn't it, where you're thinking, I need to try and just stick to something where I'm not. This is why, like, I know why people get so confused. There's so much like just information out there, and just like do this, do that, and then you think, oh well, I'll do, you know, plan me meals and everything. So I make 15 tubs of chili con carne, which I've been freezing, which I also tried to freeze jack of potatoes. And I know everyone's going, you're trying to freeze jacket potatoes. Yeah, I did. I'm an absolute idiot. So I tried to freeze these jacket potatoes because I thought, oh, well, I'll keep those for a little bit. And then I defrosted them. I opened up the fridge where they were defrosting, and there was just black water dribbling down the fridge. And then the crack behind that, mate, is that can become, it can create, by defrosting a jacket potato like that, an uncooked jacket potato, it can be quite dangerous and actually can poison you, give you gastroenteritis, which suppose you can actually die from. So I haven't touched them jacket potatoes. It was one of the girls at work said, don't be eating those, Andy. So I haven't done that. I've just been eating the chips and carnage.
Here's a fun story on the subject of that. I saved someone at my old job.
What?
Yeah, so basically, he was on this health kick. It was a guy, I don't want to say how old he was. He looked old. 50. Let's say 60. Let's go with 60, right? And what he was doing is he was having about 5 bananas a day. I shit you not. It wasn't until kind of like he mentioned this to me, I said, you know, you do realize you could end up with potassium poisoning. And he went, what? I went, yeah, if you have too many bananas a day, you can quite kill yourself. And he went home, he Googled it. And the next day, because he obviously didn't believe me, the next day he comes back in and he actually thanks me for saving his life.
So how's that work then? So what is that, just the potassium that's in the bananas?
I'm no scientist, which is why I'm going to Google it. So let's have a look. What happens when you eat too many bananas? Give me a second.
And do you know what? That's like a nice link to, like, you know, we're talking about prison before. I would just go into prison and just be eating banana after banana. And I would
to hopefully kind of knock yourself off. Well, here's the thing. It can have serious... I'm reading this verbatim. Of course, if you've listened to this by now, you know I'm reading it off a fucking screen. It can have serious consequences, but you would have to eat about 43 bananas in a short time for any symptoms of hyperkalemia to occur. That's not kind of what I thought was potassium poisoning, but apparently this is another thing. Basically, don't eat too many bananas, you'll die.
No, you give him the wrong advice, but your heart was in the right place, but he was only eating 7 a day, so you probably got all right.
What if I just put potassium poisoning?
Sounds like
I've just realised potassium cyanide's the same shit. Right, okay, hang on. Can eating more than 6 bananas at once kill you? I've got to be honest, probably, because if anyone's got a gullet big enough to swallow 6 bananas at once, then I imagine that would kill you. Let's have a look.
Is that not... Potassium poison sounds like something that the Russians would do.
Oh, well, let's not get onto that. The last thing I want is to be spraying myself with perfume and end up in bloody hospital because I've accidentally sprayed myself with Novichok. Let's have a look. Potassium levels are dangerously high if you have 6 bananas. Oh, wait, it's Ricky Gervais, right, okay. 7 would be dangerous, apparently, according to Ricky Gervais. Just to clarify, if you don't know who Ricky Gervais is, he's not a scientist.
Do you know what? I would literally, like, if you don't know Ricky Gervais, I would literally switch off now. Don't wait. Like, you know, where have you been? Yeah, still. I'll tell you what, that's one thing, you know, that still now, like, when was The Office? 2001, 2002. I'll tell you what, that's on Netflix, and still now, it's one of those shows where it just like the original Office, the British Office, you know, for me, I didn't watch the American one.
Shit. Well, not the American one, no. I mean, don't get me wrong, Steve Carell's a funny man, but he's nothing on Ricky Gervais's, I forgot his name. Yes, David Brent. Damn it. David Brent, of course. I wouldn't cast All Life on the Road as well. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Just, yeah, where essentially, so David Brent is now, well, obviously he's left Wernham Hog, and he is now, what is he selling? Is he selling, is he selling like tampons?
Something crazy. It's been a long time since I watched it.
Well, he's basically, so he's now on, well, he's now a salesman, drives up and down the country, I think selling tampon and I think cleaning products, stuff for, you know, bathroom supplies. But he literally spends all his life savings into trying to, well, basically set up his band and be the singer in this band and stuff. And he just spends an absolute fortune trying to tour the country, trying to make his dream come true. Quite a, like a lot of people were like, well, you can tell like Stephen Merchant hasn't had anything to do with it, but I still enjoyed it.
It's a good show. The Office, I mean, anything Ricky Gervais does. I never used to be a fan. It took me a while to get into him, but if you feel the same as I did and you're kind of a little bit put off by, I don't know, whatever it is he does, do take the time to actually get into the stuff he does, because that man is very funny.
What do you think it was? Do you think it was like the arrogance?
I think so, yeah. He's got an air about him where I think it's not a likable quality, but then you get past it and realise why he does it. It's a different story altogether.
Yeah, I think if you initially, you know, and you haven't listened to him before, you think, oh God, he's arrogant. But then when you start listening, and he's actually, it's part of his, like, his comedy persona, then you think, oh, I get it. And he's, you know, he's brilliant.
He's a nice guy as well. I like the stuff he's done for animal rights is a big thing with Ricky. He loves his cats. He's got a cat. But he just seems to be a sound guy.
Yeah, good guy.
I do want to get a little bit serious, though. Do you know what today is?
What are you going to tell
Well, us? Actually, it's not today. It would be in 2 days' time.
She's pregnant.
What? No, that's not what I'll get that. No. Well, what I was going to mention is a big event happened back in 2001 in 2 days' time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
9/11.
What were you doing, mate? What were you doing then?
Well, do you know what? I knew you were going to bring that up, 9/11. Should I
because
tell you
it's
how?
Nearly 9/11?
No, because I said last week that we were going to talk about 9/11. And now obviously we're talking about it. Right. Let's have a think back, rack me brains. 9/11, I think I was 12 year old. Yeah, 11. Yeah, 12. 12.
Yeah.
12. I would have been 12, nearly 13 year old. I would have been in, I think, the second year of secondary school. I always remember it was, I was at school that day and I remember being in the yard or something. It was break time, and people were, because at the time, like the internet and stuff, mobile phones, they weren't, you know, like what year we talking?
2001, yeah. So,
So 2001. So really, like, yeah, we had mobile phones back then, but it was more a mobile phone was just texting people and ringing. You had WAP internet, but nothing. Yep, Snake, and I think I had a Nokia 3210. Shout outs. And thinking back, I remember my mum picked me up, and my mum said that, oh, I think my mum described it as like a plane crash, because initially they didn't think it was, because yeah, the IRA stuff, you know, like terrorism stuff, you're sort of like IRA and all that stuff, but you didn't, well, for me anyway, but you didn't really think of, you know, there was like, it was terrorists, like, you know, flying planes into buildings.
Let's be honest. I mean, the word terrorist itself was a, it was not really much of a known word. It wasn't something that was in common, kind of. It wasn't a household word, really. up until 2001.
No, not really. Not how we know of it today. But I always remember going home and my mum had the telly on. It was a hot day. The front door was, my dad was in the front door was wide open, and I kind of went in the house and.
You still there?
You were just seeing the. It was like almost like aftermath of. It was just, and at the time, I don't really think it was 24-hour news, but every channel was just. It was just all about just, you know, the crash of the planes going into the towers, and it was just these images just rolling of just the planes hitting. And I literally thought at the time, I was like, you know, because I think it was that for me of being like 12, 13, that was the time that I think I realized that the world isn't about world's a lot bigger than my little bubble of, you know, going to school, you know, playing on my Nintendo 64, is my tea ready when I come in, what's for tea, and you know, I'm going to Ben's at the weekend or something to. Do you know what I mean? I think my world at that point, I then realised, oh shit, there's a little bit more to this world, and it's a little bit where, for the first time, I felt that the world was like a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a time where I think I think initially it was almost like a little bit of adrenaline rush because it was like, oh my God, what's happening? And I think everyone was like fixated on. But because at the time, like seeing it just on TV, for me, I was just like, oh, well, it's almost like, and I'm not trying to play this to make it sound something that it's, you know, no, like I'm not trying to disrespect the event itself. But it almost didn't seem real. It almost looked like something from a film.
Yeah, I recall it. I can't even remember it as if it was only yesterday. What I was doing is I was sat literally watching the TV. Well, I wasn't watching the TV. It was on the news on this TV we had in the kitchen. It was the day after my youngest sister was born. So I was waiting for it to come home. And I was so engrossed in what was happening on the TV because it did look, just as you said, like a movie. It was a surreal experience. And it's one that I'm never likely to forget because it was one of those things, and it's a bit of a cliche to say this, but it's one of those kind of events where you are always going to be thinking or at least remembering where you were at that time. And I think most people on the planet of an age where they would have been old enough to have obviously remembered it, would have some kind of, you know, knowledge of where they were at that time. It was a weird thing, life changing for me.
Was it life changing because did you have that similar feeling that I had that the world wasn't actually the really nice place you thought it was, and it was just like, oh, like it was a moment in time for me, and similar when we had the 7/7 attacks in London.
Mm-hmm.
More so it was because you only ever saw New York in films, and it was almost like, oh my God, this was like a film, but this film was real.
Yeah, for me, I don't think it was really so much. I've got to be honest with you, I was a bit naive as a 12-year-old, still very naive, and I don't think the ramifications of what it would have done for like society or the world would have really sunk in at that age. But looking back, definitely retrospectively in hindsight, that was probably a turning point where my psyche began to turn towards realizing the world was a very dangerous place.
Yeah. It's I just, you know, like I, you know, as you know, like I went out, I think I went to New York last year, and I went there and I went I went to Ground Zero. So I went in 2017.
Yeah.
16 years on. And I think the best way to get, if you know, if you haven't been in New York, I think like, and I've said to you, like the YouTuber, Casey Neistat.
Yep.
He, you know, some of his stuff that he does, and he does some, you know, he's a YouTuber who, you know, works and lives in New York City. And, you know, he does some brilliant stuff where he's, you know, his drones and stuff, cinematography of like New York, the skyline and stuff. And he always, it's always, you know, he's writing about New York on his booster board, and it's a hustle and bustle in New York. I remember I flew into New York, and I think I spent the first 2 days just thinking, oh my God, I'm in a film. And it's just because it's just so busy. And there's people everywhere. There's noise everywhere. There's, God, you know, they say it's like the city that doesn't sleep. It doesn't, because it's just like the sirens and just tons of people everywhere. And you're thinking, God, it seems like quite chaotic.
Yeah.
It's quite chaotic, and this is just normal life in New York, you know, when I'm there just visiting. But then I started thinking back, because when we went to Ground Zero, I then started thinking back, oh my God, New York would have been this busy probably at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the terrorist attacks happening. And you're thinking the amount of people that were about and the panic which must have ensued by this act of terrorism was quite catastrophic, really, isn't it?
I've got to be honest with you. I literally don't know what you just said that last bit there, because it sounded like you fell off the side of the Empire State Building.
what I was trying to describe, and I was just trying to put into like context. So obviously I've gone to New York, and
no, we got that bit. It was literally just the last bit.
Like how you know, just the panic that must have ensued because of how many, you know, the hustle and bustle and how busy New York City is.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, people going about the day. And honestly, you go to New York and New Yorkers and people, everyone's going somewhere. Everyone's got something to do. And then all of a sudden their day is almost disrupted by this terrorist attack and just the panic and like, what must have been going through their minds at the time, and the impact that it had on like that city. And for a big thing which I think that come out of, you know, the terrorist attack, which I'd rather talk about than anything else, was when you go to New York, it's like everyone's like, for me being like, you know, like a Brit out there, you know, I'm sure we'll have like people listening from America, but the big thing that I got from New York was people are like, you know, they've got their own shit going on. They've got their own shit to do. That's the most important thing. They've got to get on with their day. Their number one priority. But a big thing, which I think you saw from 9/11, I think everyone came together, which I think is the biggest thing. And this is the thing which always, I think this is where you've got to believe in, you know, the human race more than anything. And it's that in these hours of like, of darkness, and you know, if you go about thinking that I still really believe in the human race, because it's moments like this and it happens all the time, these terrorist attacks, you know, 9/11, 7/7 attacks, the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, everyone always comes together. And I think that's where you can still see that actually, you know, most people are good people. Everyone comes out and everyone kind of stands together. And I know people are thinking, Andy, yeah, you're going a bit over the top, and but no, it's one thing that I think we should still celebrate, that in this hour of darkness, there's always a light there that where people come together. And probably a big thing which is celebrated, you know, and people like know about like Brits and stuff. It's like, you know, the British people, you know, in, you know, we just, you know, we keep calm and carry on. We just get on with it. But I think the Americans that day especially showed that, no, the Americans are really similar in that respect. It was just a case of, right, let's just carry on. Let's just get on with it. And
yeah.
New York for me now is a place which, you know, yeah, I don't think I'll ever fully recover, you know, from 9/11, because when you go to Ground Zero, there is, it's where the it's essentially this two large, they're almost waterfalls that go into like, go into the foundations of the two towers. And then all the way around the foundations, it's almost like this, it's like a ledge that goes all the way around the foundations, and the water flows into the foundations, and there's small little holes that go all the way around.
Yeah.
All these little holes have all got someone's name on that died in the towers, and on the birthdays of the people that died in the towers, they'll put a flower there, which it's a case of, it's that thing that we should never forget. And you know, the monument that they've got there now and stuff, you know, for me, I think is, if you get a chance, you know, go onto YouTube and, you know, have a look, just, you know, Google it. Have you got Google up there now, Dale?
I literally have YouTube on right now.
Right. Just go, just type in Ground Zero.
Let me just get that up for you. I've got to be honest with you, just whilst I'm doing this, the whole thing, I mean, I know it's a long time back now, but it's never, ever put me off wanting to actually visit New York. It's always been one of those cities which I think it's fair to say, of all of the places you can visit in the world, it has its own unique character. And it's always been something that's appealed to me, particularly Times Square. I've always wanted to go and visit Times Square, the flashy lights and all of that. And you know what? I don't think any sort of attack could have ever stopped me from feeling that way about New York. It's just, I've heard so many things. It's just an amazing place.
Well, I think, you know, this is like, you know, the whole thing when, you know, like, A, you know, we're not even going to get into it, you know, if it was terrorist or not, we're not even going to really get into that argument. But the thing which I'd say is the people that do these types of, like, you know, atrocities are people that want to, I think just want to frighten you and, you know, stop your freedom and stuff. And, you know, like, there's so many people that have fought for freedom, you know, where we can, you know, travel and, you know, travel freely. And, you know, I don't think, you know, obviously, the minute, you know, I haven't really got, like, Dale, you're in a different part of your life than, you know, what I'm in, because, you know, you've got your family and, you know, you've got the little one, and, you know, you got, you know, Jane and stuff. But I think I would probably think about things differently, you know, when I've got kind of got a family and stuff. But with regard to the kind of terrorism and, you know, the 9/11 stuff, I think you're right. I think we shouldn't be stopped from going.
Wasn't, you shouldn't be stopped from going, is that?
Yeah, like you shouldn't, like, the biggest thing is, you know, you shouldn't let, like, fear, like, because someone else is trying to put an idea across of, like, driving fear that's, you know, to restrict, yeah. I'm trying to, like, to make this, not to make it sound anything, it's just, I think that these people that do these atrocities.
Yeah.
I think they want to frighten you and, you know, stop, you know, the way that we live. And I don't think we should never ever let them, you know, whatever kind of happens, let them stop us the way we live. So if we want to travel, we want to discover our own stuff. Hey, there's plenty of people that fought for us to have the freedom to do that and travel freely.
I think the hardest part of the whole thing for me, and I do agree with the whole kind of, you know, that's their intention. I think just watching that video now, and it's incredible. Go on YouTube if you've not seen the video. I literally typed in Ground Zero, and it's actually a couple of results down, but you can see the two fountains at the north and south pool. In the video itself makes a mention, it's like men, women, and children who died, and it just makes you think, Jesus, what sort of moron wants to kill children? I mean, to be honest, it's sad alone that, you know, all of those people have died, that, you know, men and women as well, but that's the thing that's a bit quite poignant with me. I think it's easy to forget that there was kids killed 9/11, as you've mentioned, as a dad myself. I think that's got to be the most painful part of that whole thing, looking back nowadays. It's the fact that these terrorists want to just kill any old person. And I don't know, you've got to be a special kind of moron to want to kill children.
I think, do you know what? I think terrorism of that magnitude, I think, doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
You know, moms, for me, like, you've got to think those people were just going to work. They're going to work in the tower. You know, the people that were, you know, there would have been all, you know, people that would have been just going to work. Moms, dads, you know, obviously, you know, kids there, you know, firefighters, you know, police officers and stuff. Really innocent people who, you know, died for an act of terrorism, really.
Well, that's the thing I want to kind of get on. I mean, where's the win? I don't see a win. Obviously, I see the American people and people in general after this event doing better than what the terrorists have. I mean, Al-Qaeda effectively being wiped out. Where's the win for them? I don't understand how, you know, causing all of this damage and killing all these people, in the end of it, we're looking back and what it's got to be, I don't know, how many years, 16 years later now, and we're not scared of them. There's no fear that we don't see them as significant. They're just a poor man's working men's group in the middle of the Middle East, in various other locales in the world who, I suppose, have nothing better to do than kill people. And that's the thing. Back in the day in 2001, pardon me, I think it was that their impact on the world was at its height because of what they did. But within, I'd say, a year or two, especially after the whole Iraq war thing, I think people stopped really giving a shit about Al-Qaeda because they are literally, no one's scared of them.
Well, for me, I think what these people, you know, try and do is they don't like our way of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might call it kind of the Western way, you know, but they don't like the way of our life. So they actually think that, you know, create, you know, these terrorist attacks, and they think that they'll actually, you know, really, like, by doing this, right, we'll destroy it and, you know, we'll create this mayhem and, you know, drive people apart. But really, in the end, all it does, it actually makes us all that little bit stronger.
Hmm.
Because, you know, as I was saying before and stuff, everyone, you know, just pulls together, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. And I think that's the thing. I think it was a really bad decision for the terrorists. I think it was really badly planned. I think, obviously, well, no, with the greatest respect, I suppose it had a massive impact on a population. It killed a lot of people. I'm not wanting to take away from that. But the point I'm getting at is, let's be honest, they've not really achieved anything other than ruining a few people's lives and or many people's lives. And that's it, really. I mean, I think the grand aim they wanted is they were hoping to change the world. And realistically, I don't think it changed anything.
Yeah, I think you know, until you'll get there one day. I think when obviously when the Midlands that little bit older, and you guys kind of want to do a little bit of traveling and family holidays and stuff. I recommend get yourself out to America, going out to New York and stuff, and you'll see like that city is, it'll never forget. But that city's come back. I think bigger, faster, stronger. It's New York. There's not like it. Those people, all that died will, never be forgotten. That city's, move forward. I think it's the biggest thing to them terrorists. It's sticking the V's up with them terrorists and saying, no, we're carrying on.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think just kind of on a nicer note, I just want to say, if you've listened in today, or you're listening in and it is the 11th of September, remember to have a couple of moments just to think about the people we lost that day. I know it's still 16 years later, but I think it's all the same. It's always nice to remember those that we lost and the people who since have lost their lives due to the ramifications of 9/11, the people who've gone out to protect our countries and that, remember them, and just have that spare a thought from, have that moment, silence or whatever you do, to just remember them. I know I will. I certainly know Andy will. Just remember them. Just whilst we're on the subject of this, obviously, we're going to close this part of the conversation this evening with a quick mention. Get in touch. Give us a kind of email. Let us know where you were. Be interested to get that fed back on the next show. So just where were you when it all happened, 9/11, back in 2001? What were you doing? Maybe you were shopping. Maybe you were in the bath. You could have been doing some other things, but keep it clean. Let us know and we'll read it out on the next show. But 9/11, 2 days time. I think that's kind of all for that, Andy. But hey, I think,
speaking of baths, and I tell you what, in the little flat down here, I've had a bath. It's probably a good
bath. Yeah, I'm glad you've had a bath.
Yeah. And I tell you what, we're both, you've been growing a beard, a lot longer than I have. I often have a go trying to grow a beard. Mine's getting better, I think, as I'm getting older. But a little bit of a mistake I made by coming down here. Forgetting to bring the beard trimmer.
Oh, the famous beard trimmer. That got me into a lot of trouble at my wedding.
Do you not like it? You shaved it right down, didn't you?
Yeah, so long story short, I don't even think I've really discussed this with you, but she wasn't happy with the fact that the outfit didn't really go to plan, and also most importantly, she hated the fact that I shaved the beard down. For those who don't know, she's got a few years on me. Love you, honey. Just so you know, that's not offensive. She's got a few years on me, and one of the things she's always been fascinated with is me having a beard. She thinks I look too young with a bald head and that without a beard. So the beard trimmer is the bane of my life when I think to what should have been that. Well, it was the happiest day of my life still, but I think that beard trimmer tried to ruin it.
Well, that same beard trimmer that obviously went, we were stood in that. So the day of the wedding, we were stood in, it was the Travelodge, wasn't it?
No, the Premier Inn. Come on, we're classier than Travelodge, no offence.
Yeah, so we were in the Premier Inn. You decided to use me, you said, Andy, aren't you? Can I borrow that to trim? And you trimmed away. And I thought it looked quite tidy. But that beard trimmer, it's one of those where I think you can sometimes become a little bit, you don't realize some of the, well, the setting on it, some of the settings on it, it'll just, it'll literally whip it off in quite quickly, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you what I loved about it. I loved the fact that the charge on it was poor. So I had a very thick beard at the time. And what I had to do was, do you remember, it took about 5 attempts.
Yeah, to get it off. Yeah, you keep having to charge it.
Yeah, I kept having to charge it. And this was what, this was like 9 o'clock in the morning. I think the best thing about that day is you actually took my car keys as well as your own, not long before the wedding was due to start.
Oh, do you know what? It was just... it was one of those where it was just, I think on the morning, I remember we were rushing around. Our friend, another Chris, who could potentially be listening tonight, Mr. Evans.
Listen on his satellite ears, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. So he, you know, he was also there. We, you know, we had a little bit of a night out, you know, before the night before the wedding. And we were all in the room, and I remember Chris literally saying that he'd forgotten a suit or didn't have a suit with him.
He didn't bring anything with him. No, he brought nothing with him.
And I think, what was this? This was 9 o'clock in the morning. We were all like kind of like rushing about and stuff, and Chris is deciding to see what time next opens to kind of run and get a suit.
Yeah, and he literally raced back with, I mean, I don't know how much money he had on him at the time, but he raced back with a decent suit, not going to lie. It was just, I'm still kind of baffled by the fact that it was a wedding. He knew he was attending, and he came up without a suit.
I don't know. I think he's, you know, he's special, isn't he? I think he... he obviously just thought in his head, he thought, oh, I'll be, it's no one's going to notice if I don't have, I'm the only one without a suit on.
So. He personally turns up with no clothes on because the stuff he had the night before was covered in alcohol, because that was literally the case, really. We had a great stag do. Evans, maybe not so much as us, because, I mean, Evans was having like a mini heart attack.
Yeah, a little bit of background on Chris. I know he won't mind us saying. Had a lot of problems with his ticker. You know, from an early age, really, hasn't he? He's had like a lot of problems with his heart. And this is us being genuine. And I think he's been told, I think, by doctors not to drink. So I don't know if he's got a valve on his heart or something, but
I've heard many stories. I've heard he's got a Clockwork Orange. One of them's a microwave. He's got a microwave instead of a heart. So the microwave basically every so often requires a new baked potato putting in it. Of course, it's a baked potato that's not defrosted. He's a very special individual.
Special guy, good guy. But obviously he's his heart wasn't doing too well that night, and he kept on having these like heart palpitations where he was really, really struggling. I thought we were going to lose him on the night. I thought he was a goner.
Yeah, it was scary, wasn't it? It was scary because there was that moment where he wasn't getting any attention from girls, and he had a little bit of, I don't know if it was heartbreak, where he was sat kind of, you know, thinking to himself, "My, just put me out of my misery. Women don't show me any attention."
Well, he was, but he made it to the wedding with his suit on, which was the main thing. Getting back to me not having the beard trimmer down here, I tell you what I decided to do. I decided to go old school. So I'll take you back to when I was about 15. So when I was 15, I had very little hair on my face. I just had a slight moustache that used to come through, very slight. I often used to go in the bathroom and pick up the nearest orange razor that I could find. So that orange razor in the bathroom was normally a Bic. This was normally after my mother had been in having a bath. I know what you're thinking. Probably using that same Bic to shave our legs, Shaved probably a bit. And then as a 15-year-old boy, I would then use that on my tash, shave my face and thinking, yeah, sort of gets rid of my little tash. You know, I still look, you know, baby fresh. And at the time, I had acne, which then big things would arrive at the old acne as well, which was all good. So my face was just red raw. Anyway, I came obviously down here not have my beard trimmer. And to be honest, my beard, if you can call it a beard, starting to look a bit. The only way I describe it is, you know, if there's any girls listening, you'll know if you've got a man or you know you'll have male friends. It almost becomes, you start to look slightly like a tramp.
Yeah,
tramp-like, and you got to maintain it. You got to trim it and stuff. And people thinking, oh, well, you have a beard because you're lazy. Actually, it's the other way around. Trying to keep a beard maintained is harder than being clean-shaven.
I agree with that, but as a bald man, I suppose instead of having hair, I've just got to kind of make sure I put a nice bit of gloss on the beard every now and again.
No, but Dale, you used the products on it, didn't you? I've seen you greasing that thing up. That thing smells good. I've had my nose right in that thing.
I like to smell of it's either one, which is lemongrass, which is a nice scent, or pre-chopped wood.
Wood, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like cedar wood,
Cedar wood.
Yeah, it's cedar wood. You sometimes you smell like a pine forest.
Yeah, like a pine forest in the middle of Alaska on a very mild summer's day.
Yeah, you oil up and that, you know, that beard becomes less pube-like and more like just like a tiger's mane, but on your face.
The aim at the minute is, because I've kind of got bored of the way it normally grows, is I'm actually trying to do the whole kind of Viking beard, which is you have like a bigger chin bit than the rest of the beard. I'm just going to see how that looks.
You've been watching beard videos on YouTube, haven't you?
Of course I have. There's times when you look at guys, I mean, there was a guy who started work a couple of weeks ago, and I've got to be honest with you, had the most immense beard. I had beard envy. He's since left the building because there's only room for one beard there, and it's obviously mine. I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure he's just gone on to get a better job. But, yeah, he had an impressive beard. I mean, it was a sort of beard he could probably open bottles with.
Hey, so honestly, some lads have – you see a beard and you think, God, that is the perfect lines. It's got perfect symmetry. You know, hair doesn't look out of place. It looks like he brushes that every day. It just looks groomed, so well groomed. And I think, you know, obviously they're the best beards. But Dale, you can't maintain a beard with a Bic razor, which I try to do.
No, you cannot. And trust me, I have used them in the past.
It doesn't. They don't. What do you do on your head at the minute? Do you Bic your head?
Well, no, I couldn't Bick my head, because then I'd basically scalp myself and I'd either end up in hospital or worse yet dead. I use better, no disrespect to Bic, but I use a better quality of razor. I think Bic should stick to making pens.
What do you use the Mac?
I've used that a few times. I had a Gillette razor once. That was handy. The Gillette ones, what you can do with them is they've got like a little clippy bit which you can take off and put on, and you just buy the extra bits for it. You don't have to buy a spare handle. Only downside is they're far too expensive.
Yeah, they are. But there's a company called Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club. I think you can get them in the UK now, but you get everything in them. You get the full grooming kit. You get the foam, the oils. Dollar Shave Club. So it can be quite affordable.
I think they've got a lot of adverts out in the minute. Is that the one where the guy goes to the shop, he gets a free gift, and gets punched in the nads?
I haven't seen that advert.
Oh, that's absolutely fine. The thing is, there's quite a lot of these beard things going around nowadays where there's people. I was talking to a colleague at work about this, where there's a lot of businesses that are operating that kind of Avon, if you will, for men's beards. So basically, you sign up for it and you get beard shit sent you every month.
I'm sure that's Dollar Shave Club. They do stuff like that.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them at the minute. I mean, Dollar Shave Club's one of them. I can't remember the names of the other ones, but there's a few.
But it's the thing where, and to be honest, like I've had mixed, really mixed, like girlfriends I've had and stuff, and I've like grown like a bit facial hair. Some of them love it, some of them like despise it. It's a mix, isn't it? Like, do you get mixed reviews on your beard? Like, I know, like everyone that I know for you ain't gonna give a shit anymore, and you're like, well, I'm growing the beard. Jane likes it, so that's the main thing. But have you had any mixed reviews on the beard or?
Nah, the beard's always a success. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It tends to be, if I don't have a beard, people tell me to cover my face up because it just looks so ugly. So I get that impression actually. There's a lot of time I'll be at work and it's like I've gone in a few times clean shaven and people have looked at me with like a weird look and gone, God, Daly looks so different. But in the same breath, it's in that tone of God, Dale, please put something on your face because you look like shit. So no, with beards, I generally tend to get positive remarks.
So really, you would kind of say that if you like, come on, Dale, we're in the same boat, mate. We ain't the best of looking guys, but if you're an ugly man, grow a beard.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say it right now, and this is official. This is Nightcast approved. If you are ugly as sin, you have no luck with the ladies. Life's not going anywhere for you. Best recommendation, get a beard on that mush. Just put a beard on. It can be a fake beard. It can be one of those little dress-up beards you get from the fancy dress shop. It could be used in the same way as those guys who go out on dates or on a night out in a nightclub, pretend they're pirates. Just get a beard. It does wonders.
Just grow through, you know what I mean? Hide as much of your face as possible.
Hide as much face as you can, because to be honest with you, if she's not going to sleep with you bare shaven, you might as well just grow a beard.
And we've talked about, well, I think we haven't really talked about it before, but another thing that I've noticed as well, getting on about hair, there's a company which I saw online the other day, because I know we've talked about before, from Christ, I'm approaching 30, we're both approaching 30, and I know you kind of your hair started going, what was it, mid-20s hair started going.
Officially, probably early 20s, actually, because, well, no, actually, I remember we had conversations at school, Andy. We had conversations at school with the likes of old Neil Hartman Anderson, and obviously Chris Evans, where quite often the topic of conversation was, Dale, your hairline is receding. So I would probably say 16, maybe even 15.
To be honest, it's a lot. Well, obviously, guys know it and stuff. And if if you are going through it, losing hair and stuff, Christ Almighty, I'm on the road getting now. Like mine's starting to go now. But there is hope out there. I'll tell you why. And I'm not talking about, getting a Wayne Rooney hair transplant where they essentially chop a slab of the back of your hair and then stick it in the front. No,
I heard, no, actually, I heard it was from the arse.
it's not from the arsehole. I'll
Is it
tell
really
you that.
from the arse?
Well, isn't that weird? Like the place where you really don't want hair, your arsehole, you get a shitload of hair. The place where you want hair on your fucking head, you got no hair.
Well, to be fair, I know that too well nowadays. I mean, given the fact that I'm obviously follically challenged, but yet can grow a perfectly wild beard on my face, that's been something that's bothered me for a few years now.
It's mental, but there is a company out there which do wigs, Now, people traditionally think of it as a toupee. And I know back in the day, they looked absolutely ridiculous. Dale, yeah. You need to... You've got YouTube on now, haven't you?
You want me to Google just a hair
transplant? I think it's... if you go on YouTube, type in... Yeah. Everybody can do that. I think it's a company called Hair for All.
Oh, this should be fun. Right, okay. Hair for All. See what we got. Oh, my God.
No.
See it? Yeah. It's all the same hairstyle, Andy. I'm not convinced.
Deal. It's...
Is that a wig?
It doesn't look like it, does it?
It doesn't, but I mean, to be honest with you, it's all the same. Oh, is that Porter?
Honestly, Dale, it comes on YouTube and it just started kind of just, because it's just the algorithm on YouTube where, Christ almighty, I think just some of the stuff that I search for all sorts comes up. But on the algorithm, this company came up and it's, absolutely, like what these guys are doing, you know, for, because to be honest, like, Dale, you've embraced the you know, the bald hair and, you know,
I've stopped caring. I mean, to be honest with you, I wear a wig sometimes at home, but yeah, I've stopped caring.
You've embraced it, but for some guys, it's, you know, it's really hard. And with this, you know, this company, they've kind of like they've literally changed their lives. Like, you see these guys like depressed and down and stuff, and then they've gone to Christ they might be putting this wig on their head and they look absolutely amazing. But basically what they do, they shave the existing hair that you've got on the top of your head. They obviously leave the sides because you're not really losing hair from the very sides and the back. And then they essentially, like, this is not a technical way, but they almost use, you know, like a prit stick that you used to use in like kindergarten or like primary school, like a little prit stick. The prit stick, it's not like a prit stick. It's almost like a mini like rowing paddle.
Yeah.
For the glue. They glue it, this big wad of hair, put it on your head, and then they'll style it and cut it. And Dale, honestly, go through this. It looks phenomenal.
I'm literally watching this guy. I'm watching this guy right now, Phil Osmond. And if he was to be listening, I hope he doesn't mind. He just looked like an older chap, maybe about 40s. He's clearly lost all of the hair on the top of his head. Zoom ahead to about 5 minutes into the video, and here's a guy who looks about, I don't know, 5 years younger. I'm tempted to do this. And there again. So don't worry, I have kind of been keeping the conversation going whilst you disappeared.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I did the best there.
I just went to quickly shake some wee out my bladder. I was definitely waiting. So that was
and what happened is you disappeared. Yeah, you disappeared. I've already what kind of
blown away.
But blown away by the fact that you disappeared.
No, not that I disappeared, but the Hair for All.
Oh yeah, Hair for All's fantastic. I think if we give them enough advertising on the show tonight, they may sponsor us and give us some free wigs.
Well, to be honest, I think those, you know, what those guys are doing down there at that company, I think it's, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, people say looks don't matter. They definitely do, because a lot of people, you know, we all are massively, you know, self-conscious and, you know, Dale, you know, we all are. But what those guys are doing, and it just shows you, God, phones come on, you know, cars come on, you know, you look at Tesla and, you know, everything comes on in.
Come on.
You know, comes on leaps and bounds. Yeah, and then even wigs are now a different level.
Wigs are fantastic. I love a good wig. If you need a computer, get yourself logged onto YouTube and type in Hair for All. It really is what dreams are made of if you're bald.
Life changing. Hey, Dale.
Yeah.
Season one. So talking about the, you know, I was just saying about the YouTube algorithm.
Yep.
I know I'm probably bringing the show, you know, back down to, you know, something quite dark. Mm. But the algorithm, you know, it all of a sudden starts running another video, or, you know, videos, you know, suggestions.
Yeah.
Now, there's a video that come up with, it was a guy called, I don't know if you've seen them, but obviously I just watch that much YouTube. And there was a guy that come up, I think he's called Pee-wee's channel.
Pee-wee?
I think it's Pee-wee, yeah. This guy who come up, the video loads, and the title of the video, I can't remember it exactly, but I think the title of the video says, Cancer Has Won.
Oh, Jesus.
I finished work. It was about 8:30. And do you know what? I come home from work and I was doing nothing but, like, I think that day, just like fucking twisting on about everything. You know, you just have one of those days where you twist on about fucking everything.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, God. You know what I mean? I thought, oh, another bloody parking fine. Parking in bloody the street that I live in. I can't get fucking parked. Like, I was just twisting. I was in a shitty mood. This video comes on. And I just thought, oh, I'll just watch it. And it just starts loading up. It's this guy, and he's come out of... He's obviously had you know, some surgery done for the cancer that he's got. He's got tumours. And he's basically been told that the surgery, I think, essentially hasn't been successful.
I'll just quickly put this in. Sorry, Pee-wee Toms.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it, mate.
100%, because I've googled it.
Yeah, the guy is for me an absolute inspiration. You know, and you know, if you know, if anybody kind of, you know, watches, you know, get a chance to watch some of these videos, and you know, and they're hard to watch, but this is a guy who's just, I think, just shows, just get on with it, just getting on with his life, he's making the most of it.
Do you know, that's going to be an interesting thing. I think what we're going to do for one of our new next shows is, I think we should take a look at that kind of conundrum, if you will, human mortality, because I think as I'm getting older, I don't know about you, I think it's very, very easy to get kind of stuck in that realization that, you know, you can't take every day for granted, and things are going to end one day, and things like this really make you realize just how fragile human life is, the fragility of actually living a life.
Do you know what it was for me? Like, I don't know if the video started loading yet. But for me, it was, this guy doesn't actually look... He looks about 35.
He doesn't look too bad. He's not what you'd expect. He's still got hair. Because you'd imagine Kimbo, he'd be without hair.
No, but, well, essentially what's happened is, so he, on the video that I've watched, he's come out of the hospital and he's sitting in the car with his mum. And I think he tells his mum just, no, mum, don't drive yet. Just give it a minute. And then it goes back to him and his house. And how brave this guy is to make this video. And then over the next few months, he continues to make these videos explaining how his, you know, there's one instance where he's talking and he said, oh, my voice is starting to sound different because the tumours are now in my throat. He then describes how his clothes are looking quite baggy because of the amount of weight that he's losing. And it's just the way that he's, you know, just trying anything to, I think he's, and don't quote me on this, I think obviously is, I'm sure his diagnosis is terminal. But I think he is now fighting to prolong his life as much as he can. And obviously living every day that he can. There's a girl as well that, I don't know if you can do a little search there, Dale, just because I haven't got Google. I think her name's Megan.
We've got, I've got one here called Sophia, which is another one, but there's quite a few different different ones on here. Do you know what I think we'll do? And this is, I think, it's kind of weird saying it because we don't really know the guy, but I think to honour the fact that this guy's been courageous enough to post this stuff on the internet, I want to do a podcast, not necessarily about this guy, but about people who are going through this. And I think in the great spirit of Nightcast and the way we kind of improvise things, I think one of our future episodes needs to be about this, 100%. And I think it'd be a good idea at this part of the podcast to say if anyone wants to kind of get involved with that and give us your experiences, please do, because it's a very somber thing. I mean, not just morality in itself, but cancer is... It's a difficult topic to kind of swallow. I think we need to do that. We need to do a podcast episode in the future, not too distant future, of course, about this. What do you think?
Because I think, you know, especially with cancer and stuff, I think the thing about cancer is I think everyone, you know, has got some kind of relationship with cancer. Like, yeah, you may not, you know, obviously, you know, we haven't all got cancer, but it's kind of, we've all had experience or, you know, a loved one or a friend or a family member who's had cancer, or, you know, someone who's got cancer, who's gone through cancer. It's so relatable. And, you know, I've seen this guy and I just, in his darkest hour, he's got the courage and bravery to, you know, make a video, which I think for even if it, and, you know, I think he's probably doing, I don't really know the way he's documenting kind of the final, you know, months that he's got left, or, you know, the time that he's got left in his life. Really, for me, it highlighted that we aren't all, you know, indestructible. And I think it really got the awareness out there about, you know, to get, you know, to take your health seriously. I don't know, it was almost like a sobering experience. You know, we've all got this bullshit going on about our lives and stuff, and here's me going on about, you know, diets, and, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and, you know, to look a certain way. Dale, you're talking about, you know, losing weight, and you know, we're talking about beards and stuff, but it all really puts life into perspective, like, and just kind of says that, hey, you know what I mean, enjoy every day as much as you can, because you really don't know what's going to happen.
Here's what we're going to do. September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. But as we go into October, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. What we're going to do, and we'll put this out there now, live on the air, or live on the podcast even, the last podcast of the month is Sunday the 30th of September. I think what we're going to do is we'll get the whole team in, and we're going to hit this as a special episode. I think that's what we'll do.
Yeah, I think we should. We'll do a little bit on. We'll talk about, you know, we'll you know, just of my experience of, you know, we'll get a bit more into kind of a little bit background on the Peewee guy, and also there was a girl. I'm sure her name was Megan.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I know young girl who's, I think her battle with cancer, she's lost her battle with cancer, but that was quite another where that was like, phew, that hit me. I was just like, wow. I think she had brain cancer and she'd gone for tests, but we'll talk about that.
I feel it's got to be a special episode, and that's what we're going to do. So, early kind of first notice, this is just in, breaking news, 30th of September, we're going to do a special podcast, and it's going to be dedicated to cancer, and it's going to be I think really, to be fair, it's going to be to honour these guys who've been proud enough to just be brave enough and put their story out there on YouTube. But not just them. I want to make it clear this is for every single person going through that. We want to take a real look at it. It's going to be a one-off special, and that's going to be the 30th of September. Andy's going to be here. I think we'll get Kayleigh on board. We're going to need to make this. Yeah, we need to make this a special podcast, and that's what we'll do. But yeah, thanks for mentioning that. That's a big thing.
Yeah, so big one tonight. Obviously, everyone's listening on Nightcast. Dale, how can people get in touch?
Oh, yeah, Nightcast. So the usual channels. So, of course, it's No Scroll September. We're deep into that, but you can still leave messages for us and follow us on Instagram. I promise you, come the 1st of October, or sooner if I do give in, I will be accepting responses to like and follow, whatever. Get in touch on the Instagram page at night.cast. The best way to reach us at the moment, with it being No Scroll September, is get in touch via email. A lot of our contacts have been via email recently, particularly Mohammed Abdullah. Thank you very much for your offer of £11 million. Get in touch at contact.nightcast@gmail.com. And if you are going to email us, please email us about something you want to talk about the show. I've got to be honest with you, we're not interested in any pyramid schemes or getting any money transferred from your bank. Unless, of course, you genuinely want to sponsor the show, but we haven't set that up yet. But yeah, Andy, I think that more or less wraps up tonight's show.
Yeah, deal. A big special mention as well to Gary. Thanks for Gary listening in as well. You know, we've got a new little... someone else listen there with, adding to kind of the family and stuff. And that's a big thing. Come and join the the Nightcast family and stuff.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to be, on the show. But everyone can have an input. You can email in and get in touch with the show. And also a big shout out as well to Anchor making this podcast,
difficult as possible.
Possible, yeah. And, bringing it out. It's really showed how easy it is to make a podcast. And if we've inspired anyone just to have a go and stuff, download Anchor, have a go. You literally just click and you're away. If me and Dale can do it, I think anyone can do it. And then this now runs on, you can get us on Spotify. I think we're now running on, is it Apple Music as well, Dale?
Yes. We're on Apple Music. We're on Stitcher. We're on Overcast. We're on Pocket Casts. We're on some other stuff. I can't remember. There's about 8 platforms we're on at the moment, maybe even more. I've not bothered to check. Listen to any of them.
And then obviously going through the Google Play Store, or if you go through the Apple Store, you can download the Anchor app. I think the big thing, I think where we have issues, technical issues, I don't really think it's anything to do with Anchor. It's probably more the internet connection that I've got down here, because I am just using 4G signal. But it then just shows you that 4G signal, Anchor can work. It doesn't need Wi-Fi. It will work on 4G. So big plug to the Anchor guys and all the support that they give the show. Dale, that's us. Yeah. Yep, Should we get wrapped up? Because I need to go running. I'm going to have a late night run. It's 10 to 11.
Please try not to get stabbed.
Try not to get stabbed. I'll be back next week on Sunday. So we'll do this all over again. Yeah, Dale?
The 16th of September. And I'll also be back then as well. We haven't got a topic yet, but that's the best way for the show to be improvising the fuck out of it. Thanks.
Yeah. See you later.